your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
That's right, here on Tuesday Drive. We've obviously got Natalia still in the booth.
Hi.
And Natalia, we're going to chat to Josh, who you know because Josh is sitting right beside you. Josh here from Stardome for Spaced Out. How are you today, Josh?
Kia ora. Thank you for having me in studio. Very excited to be here.
Of course. Now, I am so excited. All of our guests are in studio today. So this is very exciting to get to talk in the flesh about space. I was just saying to you before, I personally don't know much about space. My sister does, but I don't. I could tell you that I'm an Aries, so that's about
same,
as far.
Same. And that's
are you
all
really?
That matters, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, wait. Before we get into it, have you been seeing? Are you on TikTok?
I used to be.
Oh, yeah. Okay. At the moment, there's some crazy stuff going around about Arieses and our 2025s, and apparently we're going to be thriving.
Oh, I mean, that's great news,
so,
given the year we've had. So,
yeah, tell me about it, Josh. But we're not here to talk about that. But I'm great. I'm glad we've just had this incredible bonding experience. Sorry, Natalia. Natalia's...
I'm a Virgo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's embarrassing. But space, 2024, the recap. Tell us... What the hell has been going up there?
Yeah, this is like the Spotify Wrapped of space,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Stardome Wrapped.
The Stardome Wrapped, basically.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about like the last year that we've had it spaced out. Lots of big events mm-hmm. in space. You know, we had the stranded astronauts. We had these giant new rockets flying.
That's right.
Failed Mars missions, moon missions, you know, announcements and cancellations for different programs in space. Amazing images and discoveries. So there's been a lot that's been happening this year. And it's been a really good and progressive year for astronomy.
Mm. Speaking on the stranded astronauts, has there been any developments on that? When are they coming back? Are they still up there?
Yeah, I mean, they're up there. They're coming back in February.
Oh, okay. Not too long now.
Yeah, and I always have to explain this because I think when you hear like stranded astronauts, you literally think like an astronaut in a suit flying around in space, right?
Yeah,
like,
I'm thinking about Sandra Bullock in Gravity.
Very Sandra Bullock.
Oh, gosh.
Like, you know, she's flying around and there's all this stuff happening. But the reality is they're on the space station with like seven other astronauts.
Oh.
So it's like a space hotel. So stranded's often not the word that we would use. But yeah, they're basically the spacecraft that they took to get to the space station was deemed unsafe to fly and mm-hmm. was built by Boeing. So they basically just were left there and said, we'll send another spacecraft and that's going to bring you back next year.
Yeah.
So turned that like 8-day mission into an 8-month mission, which,
wow.
You know, imagine going to work for like, oh, you're on, you know, on call for 8 days and, oh, just kidding, you're there for 8 months.
Oh my gosh, that is so I wouldn't want it personally.
You'd really want to like your coworkers. Really?
And like, this is like confined space too. So it's like, you're not getting much personal space up there either.
Oh gosh.
I love my flatmates. I do not love them that much.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, me neither.
That's crazy.
I couldn't do 8 months.
No.
In
no.
space. I probably couldn't do 8 days in space with anyone, to be fair, but far out. There's no lawns in space. You can't just go out in your deck and then go to the lawn in space. You're in space.
You're there.
Yeah. You're inside the whole time. It's like lockdown.
It's like being quarantined, basically. You're like, you're ooh. In these very confined environments and you can't, you know, just leave and go home and pop and see your whānau. Like, you know, you're there with these people for such a long time. But that's also another thing is like the psychology of it, because I don't think a lot of people think about that. It's often the physical effects of going to space, but, you know, you need to get along with the people that you're in space with because you're stuck with them. And if something goes wrong too, which, you know, often can, they're the ones that, you know, you have to rely on, so...
Yeah, so we've heard from them and we know, you know.
They're fine, yeah.
Okay.
They're up,
they
they're,
haven't
they're
started
working.
A Lord of the Flies situation.
No,
oh,
thank
there's
goodness.
There's no mutiny in space,
oh,
thankfully.
Yes.
But, I mean, right. They're just there working, basically, so it just extends their mission. And, you know, the reality is being an astronaut was a really hard job, and they knew this going into that mission, that it could be delayed. There could be these really long, you know, issues that come up, and it just happens. But one of the astronauts, Sunny Williams, she'd been in space before multiple times, and she thought that this was going to be her very last space mission. And so, you know, she was really stoked to just go for 8 days.
Oh.
And she, when they actually told her that she was on the extension, she was like really thrilled. And she said, I really love being here and just seeing the earth from space and, you know, seeing a sunrise and sunset every hour. It's like, she said, it's one of the most profound things to see the earth, you know, from space. And I think that would trump any of the problems of like being stuck there, you know?
I agree. Mm. It's always one of those, this is probably like the stupidest sounding one of these you've ever done, and of course it's the wrap-up version for 2024, but I always think about space of being like, wow, like space is actually real, and like you can really see the planets, and like this that we're on right now, like we're literally on a planet. Like if anything goes wrong, like yeah, you are on a floating rock, like that's what it is, you know. Mm. But it's a beautiful floating rock.
Oh, it's there's this thing in space, it's called the overview effect, and it's this like cognitive perspective shift that people have in space, that they say that when they see the earth as, you know, this kind of borderless one organism that mm-hmm. we all, you know, live on and share, it just gives them this profound sense of connection and responsibility to the earth, which really makes them come back home and just think, you know, how incredibly precious the earth is. And that's, you know, that's not something that we get, you know, day to day being here on the earth. So I would not that I would love to go to work for 8 months, but I probably wouldn't complain if I was on the space station for 8 months.
Oh my gosh, would you go to space?
I would go to the space station, okay. Definitely. I would go to the moon if it was, you know, a bit more commercial and, you know, well thought out and there was, like, infrastructure.
Yeah.
But, you know, trips to Mars or something outlandish is, oh, I think I would miss the Earth, and it's also very dangerous and you'd probably die, so.
Well, lots to ponder there. Yeah.
Not to freak you out.
Gee whiz. That's a heavy topic. What else? What else is going on in before we get on to 2025? What's your second favorite story from 2024?
I think, yeah, I had my two, one's sad and one is really cool. I think one of the second biggest stories we had is the development of the Starship rocket. So that's that massive giant rocket built by SpaceX, owned by Elon Musk, which has, I think, had 4 test flights this year. And you might have seen that video of that rocket flying to the ground and being caught by the launch tower. It's just this incredible feat of engineering. But this particular rocket is being built for NASA to take people back to the moon. So the development of it is you know, not just amazing to see, but it's quite exciting to see that the infrastructure for people returning to the moon is happening right now. And we've just seen rapid development with their test flights for this rocket, which has been really cool to see. And you just watch the videos of it, and it's just really unreal to see.
I always heard, like, oh, again, golly me, this is me being so naive about space. How crazy is it that Elon Musk is invested in that business? You know what I mean? Like, he's got X, he's good. Like, he's good. He didn't need to go to space, but he is. And weirdly, like, he could be getting really good at it, and it's quite frustrating. But it's a testament to how much if you work at something, you can achieve it.
And if you've got enough funding.
If you've got money in the bank.
Yeah, and then like it's that whole, you know, it's the commercialness of, you know, if you can make money off something, money will be made off it, basically. And space is something that you can make money off nowadays with a lot of the thing that SpaceX does. But it's, yeah, I also feel so strange about it because it's like you've got Elon Musk, who is just Elon Musk, and then you have this company that he runs, which is doing really incredible work for astronomy and for exploration. And I'm all about, you know, space exploration and kind of expanding our horizons, quite literally. But then it's tied to this man Elon Musk, which is such a strange thing. And not that I want people to think I'm an Elon Musk fanboy, because I'm absolutely not. But you know, I always say, you know, he's the head of a company, but the reality is it's, you know, thousands of engineers are doing the work of this.
He's like low key, like, but high key, he's not doing the work. You know, like he's front footing it, but he's not on the ground and in the scene.
Yeah,
you know,
he's not pressing the launch button.
Yeah,
but, yeah.
Though I know he would want to. He would really, really want to.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think someone asked him, you know, would you like to go to Mars? And he said, oh, probably not the first person because they would die, but maybe if it was safe, I would go. So
honestly, like, I won't lie. Yeah, me too. Mm. Me too. I wouldn't be there. Do you remember when they were going to send that? There was a group that they were going to send to Mars. I don't know if this was fake news on Facebook in like 2012 or whatever, but like they had chosen a group, they were going to send them. There was a Kiwi involved.
Mars One.
Is that still happening?
No, that was a reality TV stunt. Like,
really?
Yeah, just to get funding. I think it was a European TV studio, I believe. Yeah, they were never going to go to Mars.
Oh my God. Wow. So I've been gooped this whole time. Oh my God. I am such an idiot. All right. And your last story for 2024, before we get into a little break and then 2025, What have you got?
I think my last story, which was a sad story, was the end of one of our Mars missions. So we had the Perseverance rover, one of the big Mars rovers, which landed a few years ago. It took a little drone called Ingenuity, and it had been flying around with it, basically. It had been its companion for about 3 years. But earlier this year, on one of its flights, had a hard landing. It basically hit the ground. One of the blades snapped off the helicopter, and it broke, basically. And so, you know, the rover went up to it and took photos and examined it. And then the rover left it alone. So you had this little helicopter sitting in the sand dune. And it, yeah, became... brought the mission to the end, but it was a really incredible mission because Ingenuity was built basically to last for a month. It was a test mission, so they said we're gonna try and make this thing fly on Mars at least 5 times, and we're gonna make it last for about a month. Lasted for 3 years, and it flew 74 times, I believe. So it was this really kind of amazing piece of engineering that would head another planet. First time we've flown on another world. And it had just been like its companion the whole time to the rover, but it left it, and yeah, it took a few last photos a few months ago when it looked in its like telescopic camera, and it could see this little drone, you know, like kilometers away, just sitting on the sand, broken.
Sounds really random,
like, but it's and just a testament to my dedication. I got it tattooed on my arm.
Oh my god! I wish the radio could see that, but it's like Josh genuinely has this tattoo.
So I had just for anyone that. Well, no one can see me, but I've got a bunch of space tattoos on my arm, and they're all like spacecraft that have done things, and most of them have like done suicide missions, or you know, they're dead at the planet, and that's like a memorial almost. So yeah, I got that on my arm when it's once at its mission ended.
Oh my gosh, Josh, you are so sweet.
A funny thing how humans can get attached to anything, because I remember reading about one of the rovers, and they played like I'll Be Seeing You by Billie Holiday.
And I
teared up reading that. I was like, what a gorgeous, profound moment for us all, for humanity.
It's so intriguing. Like, you don't think of it as like this intrinsically emotional human experience, but like, you know, if you're an engineer and you've just spent 10 years of your life designing, building, and then sending off the spacecraft, like, you know, we do put our human emotions and ambitions into these spacecraft. And I think we get really attached to them. So when those missions end, it's really sad. I definitely shed a tear once I'll Be Seeing You play it as its final goodbye song to
Opie. It was so beautiful, but just, yeah. But I think it is there how much of yourself you're putting into these creations. And like, even though it's technology, it doesn't have any feelings, where you've put so much in that you, of course, you'd have your own feelings about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, well, what a sad little note to leave us on the break with.
Like, poignant.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to get into 2025 hop predictions.
We've got questions.
Of 2025. I mean, we've got questions, but we're going to play Starburster by Fontaines DC. Was that too much, actually, just after that sad story? Now we're talking about stars bursting. And anyway, we're going to go on a break, but we will be back. Here is Fontaines DC.
They'll all be spaced out. They will be spaced out. They will be spaced out.
your business if it's momentary? I want a chop at a gag if it's a bottle of black. I want a strike at the sack, I need the fan from it. I want a shot in the dag, I want to make the mac. I want to lift the yak, I call the ends on it. I want to take the truth, whatever it lands on it. My God-given insanity, it depends on it. How I feel, how I feel, how I feel. I want to kill all the hammer that I turned up challenger. I want to keep all of your charm in a canister. Do you inspire like the same bit solitaire? I'm the pig on the Chinese calendar. I got a shadow like a 5-8 caliber. I want to move like a new salamander. I live a carry-on, who's a real scavenger? It's my tyranny keeping me from me.
Reporting from somewhere on spaceship Earth.
All right, we are back here on the Tuesday Drive with Caitlin today covering for Rosetta, and we're back with Natalia and Josh from Stardome on Spaced Out. Now, we've covered 2024. We need to move on. It's time to move on. It's almost the end of the year. There's like, a week and a half left? No, a week. No, 2 weeks.
No.
Silly. Mentally, it's like 3 days.
Yeah, but I'm checked out. I've checked out of 2024. What's going on in 2025? Is there predictions? Can we predict anything? We already know that we're in for a great year as Aries, but in terms of like the whole Earth and space itself, what's happening? Allegedly.
Yeah, so So next year, I think, is a really big year for the moon.
Oh, nice.
We have a lot of missions. We actually had a lot of missions to the moon this year. Most of them failed or something went wrong. And next year, we have multiple missions from the United States, from Japan, from China, potentially from India. So we have a lot of countries now sending new missions back to the moon. So I think it's going to be hopefully a really good year in terms of moon exploration. And we potentially have some moon missions to test the technology for the Artemis 2 missions, the crewed missions that they want to send in about a year and a half. I think there'll be a lot to see if those missions work, if they fail, especially just because we had so many failures this year at the moon, kind of just proving that it's, you know, no matter how good we get at space, it's extremely difficult and expensive to do. Mm-hmm.
So when was the last time humans were on the moon?
Humans is 1972. That was Apollo 17. Humans have not stepped foot on the moon for over 50 years. Robotic missions, multiple from different countries. We haven't actually sent people back. So one of the big goals for NASA is the Artemis 2 mission, which was actually meant to be next year. It's now going to be in 2026. But that's a lunar flyby. So they want to send a crew of four around the moon, test the technologies, come back, kind of like the Apollo 8 missions back in the day, to see if it's, you know, everything's working fine. And then they want to land people with Artemis 3, which will probably be in about 3-4 years.
Whoa.
If everything goes to plan.
Exciting.
Which isn't that far away if you think about it.
Not really. That's kind of crazy that we haven't set foot on the moon in so long. So long. How wild.
Yeah, what if it's different?
What if it's changed? What if she's different?
Yeah, she's had a real glow up.
Has her frontal lobe developed yet? Do we know?
Yeah, past the age of 25.
Yeah. Can she drink? I'm so confused.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think our goals with moon exploration is quite different. You know, when we went for the space race, it was very short term, you know.
Yeah.
1 day, 2 day, 3 day missions. But the goal now is no longer short term. It's long term sustainability. So we want to have these these colonies, basically these research centers, where it's almost like the new space station where astronauts go to live and work there.
Wow.
Come back to Earth. So it's learning how to, you know, going to space is not hard, but being in space for a long amount of time and sustainably is really difficult. Yeah. So we need to learn to do that at the moon before we, you know, even consider people sending people to Mars.
Yeah. Golly gee whiz, right, the moon. What else have we got?
Yeah, so moon is a big one. One of the missions I'm looking to next year, which might be another sad story.
Damn it.
I won't end on the sad story, I promise. Okay. There's a mission around Jupiter at the moment. It's called the Juno spacecraft, which I also
know. Oh my gosh.
This little propeller looking one. But yeah, so there's a spacecraft around Jupiter that's been there for 8 or 9 years now. And it's been flying around taking amazing images of the moons and the planet itself. But next year, end of next year, might be the end of that mission. So we think that, you know, once it's run out of fuel and it's used most of its resources, NASA is, they will direct the spacecraft to basically plunge into Jupiter. It'll use its last fuel reserves to keep pointing its antenna at the Earth and send back the last data before it gets like ripped apart.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
I was going to make a joke about going to Jupiter to get more stupider, but then you've said that and now I feel quite yes,
very
Juno.
Out of touch, Natalia. Gosh, have some decorum.
Do you have some bed in you?
But okay, I'll tell you why we're doing that, because it's kind of an interesting story as to why we do that.
Please.
So there's basically things called planetary protection guidelines in space. So the reason that we often dispose or destroy spacecraft in space, because, you know, we could just leave it in orbit and it will just stay there, is because some of Jupiter's moons, specifically one called Europa, has an ocean under its surface of liquid water. And, you know, water is a key ingredient for life. We think that moon has water. We think it might have life potentially. So we actually have to protect the environment of that moon. So if, you know, this rogue dead spacecraft that we left in space crashed on that moon and it had, you know, Earth microbes on it, and then contaminated the moon, you know, if we went to that moon and then, you know, like a decade and then discovered life, you know, how do we know that that's actually from Europa, that it's from that moon, as opposed to like we contaminated it with our spacecraft? So they actually have to dispose of these things, which, yeah, really interesting. But again, it's quite sad when you know, have these spacecraft like fighting for their lives to send back last images and data to Earth before they get like ripped apart.
Oh my god.
But yeah, it's to protect the potential for life, essentially.
Oh, that's kind of a good reason, though, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm still shocked.
I'm still a bit, whoa. But what if so it won't live on Jupiter? It'll get destroyed?
Yeah, I mean, Jupiter's a gas giant, so there's no surface for anywhere. It'll basically just, it's like an asteroid flying through the Earth's atmosphere. It's going to get friction. It'll get burnt up and basically ripped apart. And NASA's done it before. They've done it to a probe around Saturn back in 2017. But yeah, it's really just to protect the conditions on these, you know, potentially alien worlds.
Damn. Okay. Well, any good news?
I think the good but also very interesting news, I think, is I've been doing a lot of research about the new Trump administration, which of course is coming in America next year. Trump has announced his pick for the head of NASA.
Yes.
Because, the presidents, they pick basically who runs NASA and a lot of the departments.
Wow.
And he picked this guy called Jared Isaacman, who is a tech billionaire. So he's kind of akin to like Elon Musk. He made his money in the 90s during the tech boom. He is a private astronaut, so he's been to space twice
on
private missions. So he actually paid SpaceX, Elon's company, to go to space twice, and he did it, the last time was this year, and he became the first person to perform a spacewalk commercially. So not a government entity, this was a privately built and funded spacecraft and spacesuit, and he was the first person to do that in space. And the video is really crazy, seeing this man like spacewalk commercially. But yeah, he's been picked as the head of NASA, and he's a huge advocate for space exploration, for discovery. But he has really big ties, of course, to Elon Musk and to SpaceX. So him running NASA is really interesting. You know, you can think there's a bit of a conflict of interest there, because NASA, of course, contracts places to people to send, you know, rockets and their stuff up to space. And, you know, if he's running NASA and he's got this connection to SpaceX, you know, SpaceX is likely to get a lot more funding from NASA. And, you know, I think we're going to see a massive shakeup at NASA. I think they're potentially going to cancel a lot of their programs, a lot of their potential hardware. It also might really accelerate, I think, a lot of their moon exploration, which is a good thing. But, you know, I think you give something to one thing and you're often taking away from something else when it comes to funding, you know. So I think it's going to be a really interesting 4 years over Trump's term as to kind of the direction of astronomy. And, you know, this all relates to like the new space race with China and all that stuff happening. So it's going to be really interesting, I think, at least the first year, kind of to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I didn't know that NASA was also NASA?
NASA.
It sounds very, very American. Was subject to the old government shakeup.
Yeah, that's you wouldn't really think it, but I mean, it's they're funded by taxpayer dollars, so
I guess so. Yeah.
But the money that NASA gets is it has to be signed off by Congress, by you know whoever's running the government, basically. So, even though you've got this company, you know NASA that does amazing work and you know really quite literally expands our horizons in space, they are bound by like bureaucratic limitations and red tape and government bloatedness, you know, of you know how difficult it is to get things done. So I think having this guy Isaacman in the helm is going to be really interesting. We just have to see how it plays out.
Damn, well, 2025 sounds like we're in for a bit of a crazy year all round, really. And I guess the last thing we have to figure out at some point is what the hell is going on with Virgos. just quickly, we've got a lot of people asking about Project Bluebeam, and we don't have much time.
Bluebeam, I'm looking at you. You're looking at me.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it a conspiracy akin?
I don't know, but I'm a little scared about it. Lots of people, or is it the same?
Three.
Yeah.
Three?
Well, I guess we don't know. So the answer to that is do your own research, silly. We don't know.
We're out of time.
We're out of damn time. We've got a show to do. But thank you so much for coming in, Josh. What a wonderful year. It sounds like it's been in space and on the ground. On the ground being us and in the scene being space. And we look forward to hearing about these stories and poor Juno next year.
Pour one out for Juno.
We might
pour
have to do
one
it.
Out for Juno.
I reckon we do it in live special when Juno's flying into Jupiter.
Oh my gosh. Count that as something
that's
officially pitched on air. That's incredible. Thank you so much for coming in
and
have a lovely Christmas and New Year. Oh my goodness.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
We're going to play out with some Seismic Commotion by Kenny Sterling. You are on the B.
Control, we are docked. That was spaced out on 95 BFM thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.